Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Oh, good morning. Well, there you have it. All the cool kids are doing it. I invite you just to make contact with the reason why you support your Center for Spiritual Living. And maybe think along with me of all of the times that you've benefited. I know for me, I love those words, the lighthouse. It's like an oasis for me. When I think of what we have over here, it's irreplaceable in my life. It's very important to me. Even when I'm not here, I try to go to centers in other places because of how it feeds me. And I'm thinking back now, maybe you're remembering too with me the very first time I walked into a center for spiritual living and had the same experience that so many people have told me about. I went, oh my God, I found my people. I've come home. And so I'm with one of those comments that says, I want this to be here for other people who maybe don't even know that their people exist and that there is a place, an oasis where they can be fed. I'm saying all of this because it's our giving intention program, and that means we disclose what we intend to give next year. So our leadership can take that information and plan a budget. It's as simple as that. And last week we began and we received 285 giving intention forms. So, yes, that's wonderful. And that means that we are expecting 515 today. So I'm joyfully anticipating 515 people to visit our giving intention table outside. And as you know, we don't need to bribe you to give, but we love to reward you for your confidence with our own sign of appreciation. When you give in your giving intention form today, you will receive an invitation to an exclusive one-day lunch-included workshop with Dr. David Alt in January, where you can learn to set intentions for your whole year. And you'll also be able to pick up this super fancy, ecologically sound Center for Spiritual Living bag, shopping bag, which conveniently folds up. I love doing this part. Look at that. I mean, that alone is worth a giving intention form. I also want to let you know, as I promised last week, I want to let you know about our nonprofit program. How that works is every year we ask for nominations from our community for nonprofit organizations that you've either worked with or benefited from or know about. And then our team sits with all of the nominations. We vet them to make sure they are legitimate nonprofit organizations. And then we select from, and we received so many nominations this year. So we select 12 of them, and then each month we hear from one of those nonprofit organizations, and we send them a contribution monthly for the whole year too. So here are our nonprofit partners for next year, and I want to thank you for your nominations. First of all, CHOPS Teen Club, a modern facility open to all of Sonoma County, 7th to 12th grade students after school and on weekends, and they provide a safe, fun, and productive place for them. Nominated by Kevin Hutchinson. Daily Acts, transforming communities through inspired action, building leadership, self-reliance with the core belief that every choice you make matters. Nominated by Terry Moon. Dogwood Animal Rescue Project, nominated by Chandra Farnsworth. And Jake, JAYC, Jace Foundation, serving families that have suffered abduction or other trauma and encouraging them to find and experience the protection in their organization for healing to take place, nominated by Stephen Hahn. Positive Images, providing support and advocacy for our county's lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, asexual, and intersex youth and adults ages 12 to 24, and nominated by Alicia Carroll. Santa Rosa Symphony Program, so important to support the arts in our young people, nominated by Valerie Marshall. And then SHARE, Sonoma County, matching individual needing housing with a senior who otherwise would have been unable to remain in his or her home due to expenses or personal support needed. And that is nominated by Terry Ward. And this organization was nominated by Janet Dupree, and we just received the news that they're closing doors this year. So this organization will be replaced with one of the others that have been nominated. We'll go back to the list. Sonoma Land Trust, nominated by Shannon Nichols for obvious reasons. One of our values is stewardship of our planet. The Shasta Regional Community Foundation Fire Relief Fund, because we remember how important it was for us to receive support during the fires in our own county, nominated by Reverend Tara Steele. COTS 572, a new COTS program with the goal over the next 3 years to rehouse 572 people impacted by the North Bay fires. And your own Giving Intention team nominated that one, as well as Alquima, Peru. This is an organization, a center for spiritual living in Peru that assists participants to reach their full potential, both in daily life and business, through the learning and application of science of mind principles, primarily working with women and children who have been abused by oftentimes close family members, by giving them advocacy through the legal process while they are being taught science of mind principles. So that is what you are in part giving to when you support your Center for Spiritual Living. Last week, I left with another cliffhanger saying that the key to unlocking our generosity, the key to truly understanding how to get the spiritual flow going in our lives is in the relationship between two specific actions. And I said I would talk about it this week. Now, these related actions are, well, the best illustration I can think of is breathing. Breathing in and breathing out. Because you can't have one without the other. They are related. You can't just decide, I'm breathing in. It's not going to work. And spiritual life is like that. It's not a spectator sport. You can't sit out and watch. You have to lean in. You have to participate. It's more like a dance than it is anything else. Now, Wayne Kintner, you probably don't know that name, but he was the administrator of our Movements Institute way back before we even became incorporated as a Center for Spiritual Living as a church. He wrote a little booklet called A Tip on Receiving, and I want to tell you what he says in it. He says, you cannot become a living magnet and draw the things you want to yourself unless you have the energy of enthusiasm running through you. And you cannot become enthusiastic by thinking only of what you want out of life. You must become exuberant. I love that word. You've got to get excited enough for your thought energy to also flow out from you. If you think only of what you want, you short-circuit your thought energy currents. If you take an interest in only those things from which you think you can get something, you're limiting your thought energy current. Well, there you have it. So when I read this, I start to think about my own life. You know, is there any, where am I? Where have I become one-sided? Where have I stopped participating? Where do I need to become enthusiastic again? Where do I need to start radiating exuberance again? Am I allowing people to reach into me? Am I receiving and giving? Am I excited when I give? And am I excited about what I can give and what people can give to me? Those are good questions. And the same man, Wayne Kintner, he was of the opinion that there is a sure way to get things going again in life if they've become stuck. To restart the flow of circulation, you can jumpstart it. And the surefire way to do that, he said, was to give. Oh, he was very enthusiastic about his advice. He says it like this: give, give, give. Give of your thoughts, give of your spiritual mind treatments, give of your time, give of your energy, give of your appreciation, give of your love, give of your praise, give of your suggestions, give of your ideas, give of your substance, the money and other possessions that have been drawn to you. Make room for more by giving from what you now have. Oh, he was very certain. And he said, give without thought of returns. Give without expecting some specific benefit in return. Give lovingly, happily, and enthusiastically. Now, we've really got to take in that last line. Give lovingly, happily, and enthusiastically. Those are the important words for sure. We better just highlight them. Lovingly, happily, and enthusiastically. So now you know if you're feeling stuck in the circulation of every good thing in life, there is a way that you can get things going again. Start giving, whether it's your time, whether it's your affection, whether it's your money, whether it's your attention, whether it is your kindness, whether it is your expertise, start giving. But make sure it is given lovingly, happily, and enthusiastically, and especially give what you want to receive. And then make your practice of giving a routine so that it becomes supernatural, supernatural to you, so that it's as regular as brushing your teeth. So that it is like you're breathing in and you're breathing out. Now, because we're in the month of our giving intention, I want to give you some tips when it comes to giving around spiritual organizations like churches. Okay. Don't give your time, your money, and your skills to a place like a church if you resent religious organizations. Yeah. Because guess what? We're going to learn later that the attitude with which you give will later set up the way you receive. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for the organization. Don't give your time or your money or your skills when you feel manipulated into doing so or persuaded to doing so. Because, as we will learn later, manipulated giving will leave you and the organization feeling empty. Now, there are plenty of places where you can give safely, places where you feel in resonance, harmony with the values of the place, where you believe in the work of the place, where you feel spiritually nurtured, where you get your inspiration and you feel at home. There's plenty of places. And when you do give, again, make sure that you get into lovingly, happily, enthusiastically. Because don't you know, when you take that out of your giving, when you take lovingly, happily, and enthusiastically out of the equation, then giving becomes something else. It becomes a task. doing. If you take it out of receiving, then receiving doesn't resemble receiving anymore. Without this, loving happily, enthusiastically, it resembles taking. There's a difference. I was a guest, a visitor at one of those theme parks in Southern California, and I was watching it all unfold before me, and a young woman dressed as a character was busily handing out candy and balloons to children, and she had this giant smile on her face, beautiful, and I was watching her from the sidewalk as the children gathered around her, and at one point she was done. She had handed out everything she had, and I guess it was the end of her shift, and she turned away from the children. As she turned away, the smile just fell off of her face. It was just gone. And I looked at it and I thought, wow, there's no obvious connection to what she was doing to the recipients of her handout, because it was a job. It was a task. It was a doing. It was a chore. It wasn't a giving. And I don't hold her at fault, really, because those kids, they were just grabbing and taking, and they didn't care who she was, whether she was tired, what's her name, they just took. And you know, when it was over and when she had no more, the scene cleared, and there was nothing lingering in the empty space where all that chaos had been. Because that scene was characterized, I would say, by an absence of lovingly, happily, enthusiastically. And, you know, you can fake it till you make it at a theme park or on a job. But when it comes to life and consciousness, you can't fool life what's in you. When you take lovingly, happily, and enthusiastically out of it, giving becomes doing and receiving becomes taking. See, true giving and receiving is not a task. It's not a burden. No, it's a dance that needs both partners, and there's a communion. And then when the dance is over, when the giving and receiving has stopped, something of that loving energy lingers in the place, and the world is better off for it. So, question. Are you a taker? Amanda Owens wrote a beautiful book called The Power of Receiving, and in it she lists some of the characteristics of what a taker might be. I'm just reading this for information purposes. A taker is someone who tries to get as much out of things for their own benefit and gives very little in return. Someone who pulls and tugs to get what they want. Someone who feels entitled to get what they want. Someone who uses others to get what they want. Someone who expects others to serve them. Someone who seems to never get enough of what they want. Someone who, the more they take, the emptier they feel. Someone who appears to need increasingly more. I mean, that's extreme. And the thing about taking is that it's deceptive. It fools the person, you know, because it makes it seem like the taker is going somewhere. You're going to get something, but it's more likely that the taker becomes emptier and emptier, you know. I had a friend who was an attention seeker, attention taker, that's what she was. She wanted so much to be part of the group, but she had this self-destructive way of taking attention. She wanted to contribute, but the way she did it was kind of monopolizing. So she would interject stories that always began with I or me. And then when she told the story, it took so long for every little detail, and she would capture people's attention with her stare. So the result was that fewer and fewer people in the group wanted to give her the attention that she wanted. And as people withdrew from her, the louder her taking became. Ooh. Receiving, on the other hand, has the energy of, I am part of what is going on. Whereas taking has the energy of, I'm disconnected. Receiving creates community. Taking creates isolation. It's a very famous quote in the Bible about how this all works. Give, and it will be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And I thought we could just change give to receive. We could get the same thing. Receive, and others will be able to receive from you. Similarly, and then that last sentence, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. That's very important. What it means is because the attitude with which you give sets up how people will give to you. Ooh. Well, that's what good measure means. It's not uneven, it's even, it's matched on both sides. And in metaphysics, we call that the law of reciprocity. And it means that the attitude that goes out will be matched with the attitude that comes in. So my attitude sets the standard, and that's what makes lovingly, happily, and enthusiastically so exciting as a goal, as a standard, because I can say to myself, it's coming back. We can also change that to receive, you know, because the attitude with which you receive sets up how people receive from you. My grandmother, if you gave her something and she didn't like it, you would never know. Because she received with such grace, because her attention was on the act of receiving and not the object. Oh, wow. So, you know, when we say attitude, we mean consciousness. So, here's the question. If you have the consciousness of a taker, you're setting up a situation in which, I don't know, maybe people instinctively around you will try to avoid interacting with you or giving to you. Or to be really blunt about it, let's go to the dark side. Are you ready? Here we go. Take, and others will take from you everything you've got, because what is in your consciousness sets the rules for the game. Oh, that's fierce. Well, since I've gone to the deep side, let's examine more of the characteristics of a taker. This is not a self-assessment. We're talking about other people. But don't you know, I can find myself in this. So just be gentle. Are you convinced most people are takers, and so you maintain a high alert not to be taken yourself? Are most of your spiritual practices, prayers, and meditations about and for yourself? Do you do whatever you can to make yourself happy and avoid anything that makes yourself unhappy, even if doing so makes other people unhappy? Do you give up, move on, when you don't immediately get what you want? Do you leave charitable contributions up to other people to take care of? Do you remind people how much you've given to them? Do you start conversations talking about yourself? Sometimes. Oh, this one is harsh. I don't know if I should even read this. Thank you. Do you strike up conversations mainly with people you might be physically interested in, or from whom you think you can get some value or attention? Whew. In conversation, do you spend most of the time talking and expect the others to be listening? Would you say that you don't particularly care what other people think of you? It's just interesting information. And if you found yourself in any of that, or if you said yes to some of those, you may want to put something back into the mix very prominently. Lovingly, happily, enthusiastically. And you may want to consider a jump start of your circulation by taking the advice that we got from Wayne at the beginning. Here it is. Give, 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 give of your thoughts, give of your spiritual mind treatments, give of your time, give of your energy, give of your appreciation, give of your love, give of your praise, give of your suggestions, give of your ideas, give of your substance, money and other possessions that have been drawn to you. Make room for more by giving from what you now have. Give without thought of returns. Give without expecting some specific benefit in return. Give lovingly, happily, and enthusiastically. Of course, somebody might say, but what about being an overgiver? You know, that's when a person tries really hard, maybe trying to be agreeable or trying to be what other people want, and so they give to compensate in that area, and that has got its own set of problems and can lead to being exploited and feeling resentful. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about next time we're together. Good? Yeah. All right, let's breathe in together. And exhaling, letting your eyes close. I invite you to turn your attention inward to that source that connects us all, the source from which everything comes, even our inclination to give and to receive, to love and to be loved, to help and to hold and to express. All of it comes from the one source that today I call the heart of God. The unconditional acceptance of that which creates all, which has created us in its image and its likeness. And I take that to mean expansive, beautiful, kind, creative. And I let myself dwell upon that, our nature, creative. And I feel this beautiful impulse to express that creativity through my loving, through my generosity, through my connection, through my understanding, and through my kindness. And as I speak this word in my spiritual mind treatment, I am reminded that as I give in this way that is as natural as breathing to me, that every outgoing of love, creativity, and generosity is immediately and instantly filled in according to spiritual law, with love, generosity, and creativity. And so I cannot be depleted, I cannot be exhausted, I cannot be emptied, because my source is the heart of God. And so I take a moment to rejoice in this. I take a moment to celebrate where I am, what I am, what I'm made from. And I take a moment to appreciate how this spiritual identity I have, we have, is not only for myself, but for my loved ones, for my town, for my city, for my community, for my planet. I'm raising myself up into full remembrance of my heritage, for the good of all, for the lifting up of consciousness of all. And I delight in doing so. I release this, my word, into the action of the law. That's my way of saying it is done unto me as I believe according to law. And I relax. And together we say, and so it is. Once more, a breath in and a sigh. As we make the transition to our offering time, the giving intention team asks me to remind you that if you do fill in your giving intention form, to please not drop it into the offering, to take it to their table so that they can make sure everything is correct and also properly thank you. If you did make your giving intention online, please visit the giving intention table so that you can still pick up your gratitude gifts. They're still available for you. And I will be there at the giving intention table to answer any questions you might have about the giving intention process. I look forward to meeting 515 of you today. And now for our offering, I invite the ushers to stand, and won't you please take your gift in your hand. And if you gave electronically, place your hand on your chest as a symbol of your giving and say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.